we could fix this or that or change this or have this policy or this law. And I'm just reminded each and every day that there are still things that the Lord needs to do in my own life and things that I need to work on. And so tonight, and look at Proverbs 4 and verse number 20, it starts with me. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." And verse number 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Let's pray. Lord, God, again, as it's already been said, we're blessed to be here once again tonight, just encouraged by this morning and the faithfulness of your people over and over again every week, and those who have come to serve and plugged in different areas, whether that's greeting or nursery or driving and whatever that is. I'm just grateful, God, and encouraged to see your people persevering. And we know, Lord, that a lot of folks come in and out of these doors every week who are hurting and, God, have a lot going on in their life, things that are somewhat overwhelming. And maybe, God, they keep that somewhat hidden or to themselves and they don't share that. And so I pray that you would touch that person maybe tonight. And I pray that maybe this message would be a challenge and an encouragement to them. And as always, Lord, no matter what, that you would be glorified through everything we do here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated tonight. It starts with me. The idea for tonight's message really comes from that passage, and that is the Bible says in verse 25, to look right on. To look right on. The Jewish people would use the word heart and often to describe the mind. They wouldn't often say mind, but they would say their heart. It was kind of the seat of all that they were. And so it's used interchangeably there, because we know what captures the mind captures the man, right? And our minds work somewhat like a computer. They only spit out the data that have been fed into them. If you buy a new computer, it comes pre-programmed with certain things on it. Maybe it has Microsoft Word, or maybe it has a calculator, or it has, what's that little game, the Minesweeper game, or Solitaire. And that didn't just happen when they created the computer. Somebody put that information in there, and then you're able to access it. The same is, to me, in a sense of how our mind works. If you put stuff in it, later you'll be able to access that. If you put garbage in, then you're going to get garbage out of it. And as Christians, we have to be disciplined about what we store in our heart and in our mind. This morning in our young adult Sunday school, we talked about gray areas. And we were putting these different gray areas through about a 7-question test. And we said, if you're not sure about something in Scripture, whether God wants you to do it or not, ask these 7 questions. And if it can pass those 7 questions, then you're probably okay to do it. If it can't, then you need to seriously consider whether or not it's really a gray area. And maybe it's more black and white. But the point of our study and kind of the sentence that I kept repeating is we don't need to ask what's wrong with it, but ask what's right with it. And when it comes to what we're putting in our hearts and in our minds, that's the same question we need to ask. You say, well, what's really wrong with it? Well, maybe you should ask, well, what is right with it, right? And chances are you use a computer. Maybe you own one yourself, or you go to the library, but it's hard to imagine, which, by the way, if you have a smartphone, you have a little miniature computer, okay? Even if you don't have a laptop or a desktop, you have one. It's hard to imagine living life without a computer these days. And I'm not saying it can't be done. Maybe somebody here is like, hey, I can just stay off of it. And more power to you. Computers can be your best friend, or they can be your worst enemy. They're wonderful when they've been given the right information, and when they store data inside, you have it forever. I use that word lightly, right? Until you get a virus and it crashes and it's gone forever, right? You can file the stuff away and you forget about it, and then when you need it again, you double click and it pops back up and there it is, right? You can call it up whenever you need it. Phone numbers, email addresses, documents for work or for school. You remember when you actually knew people's phone numbers by memory? And now it's like, hey, what's so-and-so's phone number? Well, hang on a second. Let me check, you know? And it's like I know phone numbers that I learned pre-smartphone is what I know. And even on those little flip phones, it took too long to click all those numbers in, you know, for the contacts. So it's like, I'll just memorize it, right? And then back then, you only had to call about five or six people, and that was it. Now I have, you ever been scrolling, if you have an iPhone or a smartphone, you ever been scrolling and you see somebody in your contacts and you think, I have no idea who this person is. How do I have their email? You know what I mean? Or their phone number, or their address is listed there. Where did this come from? But you can store it away and it works great. Your computer gives you internet access. You retrieve info. You connect with millions of people. It's all at your fingertips. A computer can be a great thing. But it can also be an enemy, can it? It depends what you do with it. When you go to locate that paper you need, you won't find it unless you clicked save, right? I thought I saved that. And it only stores the info you actually save on it. And I don't know how many times I've been working on something. Maybe it was a message or an important, you know, paper or document. And somehow the power gets tripped or the computer has to restart or does a hard reboot. And then it's like, oh, did I save that? And you're just waiting. And then as soon as you get back on, it's like, no, you know, you lost it all. Or it's corrupted the file and you can't get it back. And you know, the internet with all the valuable information can also be a disaster, right? The internet is a tremendous thing. You remember when you actually had to look at a map? And now you just, you don't even have to print the, then it became, was it MapQuest? Was that, and Google Maps? And before you had to unfold the 16-folded, you know, thing. How are you supposed to drive with that? I'm not sure. It's like, here, you hold it, find it. And then it went to MapQuest. Oh, we can just print out the route. And that was so tremendous. And now you don't even print it. You just put it in your phone. And, of course, you had the GPS. And man, what a tremendous thing. But at the same time, it can be a disaster. Garbage can be found on it. You know, there was... It was troubling to me. There was an individual. I have a few forms of social media. And there was an individual who took a sabbatical from social media. They took a break. And usually people will announce it and say, you know, I'm taking a break, everybody, for the world to know. Or they'll just say, hey, just so you can message me, I understand. But it's pretty crazy we got to do that, right? It's almost like we're leaving our home. And it's like, hey, I got to let everybody know I didn't die. I'm here. I'm just taking a break from social media. But there was somebody that I was friends with who took a break from social media, and they came back and they announced their return, the triumphal return, you know. And then they posted, or I started noticing something. And this was on Twitter. I don't know if you tweet, but on Twitter, not only do you see what your friends post, but you can also see what they, who they follow, kind of what they post as well, or things that they like, you know, they heart. And I noticed that there are things on my timeline, and it became kind of progressively just things that I saw. I'm like, what is that, you know, doing there? Maybe a profanity or something. I thought, well, that's odd. Who is liking that? And then I saw a few, and then just some posts that I thought, well, that's kind of, you know, I don't know if I even want to see that or read that. And it was the person who came back, and I thought, that's pretty bad. When the believer comes back on social media, and my timeline is now less spiritual and less holy than what it was before you were back. You say, did you unfollow him? Well, that's personal, okay? But isn't that the idea? I mean, just the thought that the internet and social media, it can be a wonderful thing, but it also can be just a source of garbage. And we have to be careful as Christians. And here's the principle. Our minds are like those sophisticated computers. Maybe you have a personal laptop. Maybe you have a desktop. That's how our minds work. Even more so than the computer is the miracle of our mind that was created by the Almighty God. They're small. They're portable. Along the way, we store information inside of them. And you can carry your laptop with you and you can bring your phone with you, but your mind goes everywhere with you. And along the line, we pick up things and we store information and we meet certain people and we read certain things and we see certain pictures, good and bad. And that's why, as Christians, it starts with us. We have to be disciplined about what we're going to store in our hearts and in our minds. Because as believers, we have to understand something, that if you feed on garbage, you're going to get garbage back. Garbage in and garbage right back out. And as humans, we naturally act on the things that fill our minds. We become preoccupied with thoughts, and eventually the thoughts become acts. We act on those thoughts. And maybe that explains a lot of things too. Maybe it explains, and just a few ideas, why there's such a huge amount of violence among people between ages 12 to 24, when the average child has seen more than 4,000 murders on TV and movies during that time frame, 12 to 24. No wonder there is so much violence between those ages. Is it any wonder why rape is often committed after someone has watched pornography night after night after night? Some say they don't agree and they don't believe that what we see and what we hear affects our behavior. But friend, if that were true, no company would ever advertise on TV or the radio again. It does affect us. And I'm sure you, like myself, can recall certain images, certain songs, certain things, maybe that we saw or listened to 15, 20 years ago, and you could recall it right here, right now, and describe it to a T. Why? Because it's stored in there. And it sticks with us. I could sing you probably the top 10 country songs from 2004 or 2005 or 2006, in the 2000s, all right? Because it seemed like everywhere I worked at McDonald's and CC's Pizza, you guys remember CC's Pizza in Chillicothe? And it's not there anymore, it's not my fault. And then working at Taco Bell in the country all day long. I didn't listen to it, except for when I was at work. And I'm working, making tacos, not paying attention. Then after a while, I'm singing it. And I'm and deep voice and everything. And I'm just, and it's like a, and even now, I could sing it to you word for word. If I'm out somewhere at a restaurant or something, and it comes on and I start. And I'm like, stop it. You know, now some of it, I'm not saying it's horrible, but there are other times I'm like, no, that's not a good song. You know, it does affect us. It sticks with us for a long time. What we see repetitively, what we hear, it does stick with us. I've teased about this before, but I've told my kids every time I talk about Sierra and I, when we first started dating, I make it all romantic and a lot more epic than what it really was. And I talk about how I talk about how I used to have long flowing hair and muscles and things I was cracking up because it worked, because one day Gracie was at work with me. I think she had gotten off of school and she loves to draw, and she's drawing a picture and she draws our family. I'm like, Gracie, who is that? And she was like, that's you, Dad. I'm like, that doesn't look like me. And she said, yeah, it is. It's with your long flowing hair and I was flexing and my muscles and it was the idea, though, the repetitive thoughts over and over. And now even they talk about it when they describe. They're like, Dad, tell us a story when you used to have long flowing hair. And it never happened. But here's the thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. It says, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And this verse is such a great verse to memorize and get a hold of. Taking captive every thought. It gives the idea of taking prisoner everything that goes into our mind. We arrest it. And we say, hey, we're chaining you up because we got to make sure you know who's in charge. Jesus is in charge of my mind. And when you come into my mind, when I allow something to go into my mind, I'm taking it captive, submitting it to Christ. An analogy used for our mind is often given of a bank account. And our minds and our hearts are like that checking account. We can only withdraw what we've deposited, right? They don't work as a credit card. It's a debit card situation, you understand? You know, I see maybe as you watch TV or you see a movie or something, oftentimes something will pop up that says for mature audiences only. And the idea behind that is, well, I can handle it. I'm mature. It doesn't matter if you're mature or not. What matters is, what did you just put into your account? Mature or not, what did you deposit? We as Christians need to work hard at investing the right materials inside of ourselves. We need to work hard at avoiding the wrong material so that what comes out of us is right. You know, there's a book. Well, it's a group of writings called the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, and they've turned them into somewhat of a play, and different, you know, people have kind of added on to them, almost like sequels and things. But the Screwtape Letters, written by C.S. Lewis, was sort of an allegory, and it's a fictional story about a demon whose name is Screwtape. And he is kind of the master demon. And he is writing letters to his nephew, a lesser demon, a lesser rank, named Wormwood. And he is instructing him on how he is to kind of control and influence the patient, which is a human. And the believer or the patient gets saved, and then Wormwood, this demon, is rebuked. How could you let him get saved? And on and on. And it's kind of the idea or the thought of how does Satan work? And what do they do to influence Christians? And in that series of letters, Screwtape writes to Wormwood, these fictional characters, but he says this: mortals always picture us as putting things into their mind. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. And it's not just important to guard what comes in your mind and keep things out, but rather to make sure we're depositing the right things as well. It's extremely important that we guard ourselves against wicked things that try to penetrate to our heart, but it's equally as important that we put the right things in. Because again, you can only give out what you put in. So what does that look like for us as believers to practice this truth? Look again at Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Makes it a little more practical for us. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He singles out the ears, the eyes. How do you feed your mind? The ears and the eyes, isn't it? That's how we control what goes in. He says, son, he says, incline thine ear to my sayings. And it says, keep thine eyes in the midst. He says, your ears and your eyes. And it's the same way today. How do we deposit something into this computer inside our heads? It comes through our ears and through our eyes. Our hearts already have a tendency to lean toward wickedness. And maybe that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. I think he knows something. I think it's something we should learn. He says, I've hid your word in my heart to protect me from sinning against you, God. I'm depositing in that which is right. And it's a great illustration I've used before, but it's the idea of which dog are you feeding the most? Is it the good dog or the bad dog? Which one is stronger? You know, Job 31 and verse 1, just for reference, Job, he said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. And as Christians, what an amazing, I mean, just practical thing we can do to say, God, I'm making a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon anything that is going to cause me to walk away from you, Lord, or to turn away from you, or to think on things I shouldn't be thinking. I remember when I got saved and I was a sophomore and I was sitting at the lunch table and I still sat with the same buddies that I did before. I still wanted to witness to them, still wanted to be friends with them. I didn't talk the same way anymore. I didn't discuss the same things anymore. But I remember one of my buddies taking his phone and showing an image of something around, a picture, and he was showing it to all my friends and they were all laughing, and he said, here, Nathan, look. I said, no, man, I don't know what that is, but I don't want to see it. And he said, come on, look. And I said, no, I don't want to look at that. Some would say, well, I'm mature enough, I could see it. But I made a covenant with my eyes, God, not to look upon anything that is going to cause me to sin. And we wonder why Job was such a perfect man, the Bible says, complete. Because he knew something. He guarded his eyes. Christians that are disciplined about what they store inside their mind and heart are seen as wise in the Bible. They listen to positive input, encouraging music. They fill themselves with Scripture. I want to be so filled with the Bible. Do you understand? You can overeat. You can maybe binge watch too much TV or something. You cannot read too much Scripture. You can't overdose on it, friend. We're always underfed when it comes to Scripture usually. But man, you can't get enough of it. Fill yourself with the Word of God. What's the old thought that I want to be so filled with Jesus that if a mosquito comes and sucks my blood, he's going to fly away singing Power in the Blood, right? Isn't that how it goes? We need to be cautious about the content that will hinder or confuse our decision-making ability later. What are we filled with? And what we're filled with eventually spills out. Isn't that what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He said, from the heart proceeds evil or good. The heart is the tattletale, right? It just shows what's really inside. You will become what you are becoming right now. Say that again. You will become what you are becoming right now. What are you feeding your mind and heart today? And that is what you will become. How much do you consume God's word each week? You know, Romans 10:17 gives us this awesome truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray things like, God, give me more faith. Increase my faith, Lord. Lord, help me to trust you more. Give me faith, God. And yet the Bible says faith comes by hearing God's word. It's interesting, isn't it? Our faith is increased simply by hearing the word of God. Hearing it. Depositing it in our heart. I love this quote by Martin Luther. It's one of my favorite, probably my favorite quote by him. He said, carry in your heart something from Holy Scriptures to bed, that you may find a remnant of it in your mind when you rise. And if you just deposit just that nugget of Scripture every night, whether you're trying to memorize a verse, whether you have your phone with you, whatever it is, and you just read that chapter, Proverbs, by the way, is a great book to do that with. You read that chapter, and I've been reading a proverb every day for a while now. And as I finish, I just go back to chapter 1 and just do it again and again and again. Because Proverbs, as I heard Pastor Ryan say, are the pearls to live by, the pearls of life. And man, it's like a roadmap. But if you just did that, to deposit that blessing every single night, that maybe when you wake up in the morning, there would just be a piece of it left. And how beautiful would it be in the first moment that you opened your eyes, the Word of God was on your heart. It was in your mind. That's a way to start the day, friend. Psalm 63 and verse 1 says this, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I don't know when you do your Bible reading, but as soon as we wake up, there are 1,000 things that fill our mind. And if we were just to take a moment again to think every night before we went to bed and every morning when we wake up, even if it's one chapter, even if it's a verse that you're reading to try to memorize every single day in the evening and in the morning, he says, God, I will seek you early. Why? Because we know that early in our day, 1,000 things run to our mind. So God, before I deposit 1,000 other things, I'm going to start with your word and I'm going to end with your word every single day. Consider all the input you receive in your mental laptop this week. Think about the positive and negative input you store away inside. TV shows, music, material you read, people you talk to, things you see on the internet. What are you feeding more? What are you depositing more? Back to Proverbs 4:23, and I'll be done. Proverbs 4:23 says this, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, with all that is in you. Keep your heart. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. And verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Your eyes straight. And I'll close with this verse, okay? Philippians 4:8 says this. Paul admonished the believers in Philippi. Notice what he says, finally. That's like when the preacher says, I'm about to close, all right? And Paul did that a lot, by the way. You see in Scripture over and over again that Paul continually said, finally. And sometimes he would go on to write a few more chapters. Here he didn't know. This is the last chapter of Philippians. Finally, brethren. In other words, to summarize it all. To end it all, to conclude, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to know what you should deposit in your mental bank account? Paul just gave us the list. Think on these things. Now that doesn't mean you're never going to come across something that you don't want to deposit. That happens almost by accident, by not trying to or attempting to. You come across something, you hear something, you read a story, you see something, and it's like, oh man, I don't want to remember that. I don't even want to think about that. Some wicked act that happens or whatever that might be. But the things that we meditate on and think on, Paul says, brethren, the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of a good report, any virtue, any praise, let those be the things you're depositing into your mind and into your heart. Would you bow with me? Father, I'm grateful, God, that each and every day you allow us to fill our minds with your word. I pray that tonight, as a church, Lord, the members of this congregation, the folks who attend here, and the folks in this room, that before we would lay our heads down, or even while we're on the pillow, God, that we would deposit something spiritually into our mind. And Lord, I pray that tomorrow, when our alarm clock goes off, or when our eyes open up, Lord, you would remind us of that precious seed that we sowed the night before. And God, I pray that that seed would spring up fruit in our life throughout the day. Lord, help us to guard our minds, to take captive all of the thoughts that enter into them, to take the things that are good and pure and lovely, Lord, and make those the important things, to allow them to sink into our heart. And we know, God, when it does that, it'll show itself in our life. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Would you stand with me tonight as we begin to sing?